You're listening to People Helping People, a live radio show on Daisy 1170 AM. Join us each and every week as we explore the many ways of making a difference, just by doing what you can. Know a friend who's in need of a service? Have a family member who's come upon hard times? Hopefully we can all help. It's about people helping people. Tuesdays at noon on Daisy 1170 AM. If you can help, or you know someone who needs help, call us now on the studio line 408-912-5565 to participate. That's 408-912-5565. You can also send an email to peoplehelping@klok1170am.com. If you prefer to leave a message, call 408-458-9478. That's 408-458-9478. All information is strictly confidential.
Welcome to People Helping People on Daisy 1170 AM. My name is Greg, my co-host Larry.
Good afternoon.
Welcome, my friends.
Nice to be back.
It's good to be, you know what? A perfect day for this, a gloomy, rainy day.
I love gloomy, rainy days.
We need this. I wanted to hyper-focus on the weather for a minute on this show. Mostly because I remember not long ago, was it about a year ago, we were sitting in the same room.
Summertime.
Discussing the drought and how debilitating it is and how everybody's got to chip in, how bad things can get. Do you remember?
I absolutely remember.
Do you remember when we had in a few people from the Santa Clara Water District
to
tell us that when I said, what is it going to come to? When will it? And she said, well, one day you're going to go turn on your faucet and there's just not going to be any. And I remember just my stomach dropped, right? Everybody was in a bit of a I don't want to say panic, but it was we had reached levels of concern.
Yeah, it was critical because it was statewide. I mean, a lot of times it's not statewide, but this was statewide.
Yeah, it's like, don't water your car. We're going to set, and then there was going to be the 5-minute shower where you would only be able to shower for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah, I know, but a lot of people found that to be, a real huge shift because having to go
from the norm,
Yeah, because you have to time your showers.
Yeah.
So, a lot of these people talking and all that concern, and now I'm watching the news. I was away for a few days. I was on the East Coast doing some work, and I come back last night, and I put on the news, and they said it's supposed to rain pretty much every hour of this week, and then Saturday is when it's going to let up.
Not just every day. I remember you saying that. So not just every day.
Pretty much every hour. Like 80% chance of precipitation almost every hour, right? Hmm. And they were showing people, the news, they interview people, and everyone's complaining. It's like, I can't take it. This is awful. It's debilitating. There's so much traffic, and no one knows how to drive in this one. I was like, wait a minute. It wasn't that long ago. We were desperate.
Yeah.
Now we get it, and everyone's complaining.
That's normal for this state anyway.
We've been spoiled with no rain.
Yeah, I know. But nobody knows how to drive in it when we do get it.
And it's that is true. There's been accidents everywhere.
Yep.
Hey, little rule of thumb coming from somebody who's born around rain, who's always around rain. Driving in the rain is not the same, but you shouldn't drive defensively either. Just drive normally. Don't drive like a maniac.
And because they do.
When you drive really fast and slam your brakes, you slide.
Oh, yeah.
But they were saying there's an abnormal amount of accidents on the highways because of people
There are.
Sliding.
There always are. So I have to go up to San Francisco after I leave here today. And I don't even know what I'm going to run into, but there was accidents all over the place when I was in the city yesterday.
It's just
all over.
Madness. But if you're just watching the news, they spent 15 minutes talking about how this rain is creating problems all over the place. And it just wasn't that long ago. I think most people understand it, but there's just a lot of people who just, it interferes with their convenient lives.
That's true.
And it is, I understand it. Like when you wake up every day and it's gloomy, it's something
like
to deal with.
I love it.
Well, you're strange. We already know that.
No, my daughter lives in Portland. She's just like me. She said, Daddy, I love it.
I do too, honey. You know, those in the Pacific Northwest,
for
them, 50% of the time, it's going to be gloomy and rainy.
But do you know a lot of them complain about the rain, and they live there?
Is that right?
They find it as much? They do. Yes, they do.
You expect it there. And the one thing I've noticed is for those in those areas is they appreciate the sunshine more. So when they do get a sunny day.
That's a fact.
Even if it's cold, they'll go to the beach or they'll go for a long walk.
Or they go hiking.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
And you end up taking advantage of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think the misconception is that it's raining all the time. In reality, it's gloomy a lot. And sometimes it's more like an overcast rain. It's not just like downpour.
And that's what I can't deal with.
Overcast.
I don't. The fog and low clouds. They call it June gloom.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess we don't have to worry about the drought. I tried doing some research on that before the show today because it hit me last minute that I wanted to look it up to find out where we were.
Yeah.
As far as water conservation and how much we need to fill up the reservoirs. I know I saw a report about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, when we had our first round of crazy, like 2-3 weeks of rain. They said that most of the reservoirs are filled in the Bay Area.
Yep.
I think the majority of them were 80% or more, and there were a few that were full, and there were only a couple who were below 80% threshold. So I would assume after this round, we got to be pretty darn close to at least out of danger zone for now.
Oh, yeah.
And hold us over for a couple of years. But you know it'll only be a matter of time before we have the next stretch of a year or two with minimal rain, and just because of where we are.
It always happens.
I know.
You know, I mean, California's an arid state. It always was.
Yeah.
So in Santa Barbara, I used to live there years ago, and back in the 1800s, there was not one bloody tree.
Yeah.
Not one tree. Now it's just covered with oaks and pines and palms and stuff like that.
Yes. So that was just a tidbit of rain talk. A lot to talk about. I know sometimes we'll bring different things to the table when we come in, and different people we speak to over time that have, or I would say desperate times, but sometimes we're, you know, dire times for some people. And I know you've had a couple of things you brought to us.
In the past.
Talking about friends of friends and such, family. But sometimes it hits closer to home. And I know your sister's come upon some tough times.
Some hard times. And you know a lot of the story.
I do.
You know, when she was married, the guy turned out to be a huge fraud. She was married to him for 7 years. And
I don't
even
call
gave.
Names.
I have a lot more to say about him name wise.
Yeah.
What's that button that you push when you put out the expletives? Is that what it's
called? Oh, yeah.
Do we have one of those?
The cough button? Yeah.
No,
but we're not going to use it for this show.
Why?
This is a family show. I know sometimes you get foul mouth, but not today.
I never do.
I know.
Only with you and behind closed doors. But anyway, so that's another story. But because of that situation, she's recently divorced, maybe a year now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So she lived with her daughters, one in Hollister and one here in San Jose. And then she finally found a place that she could move into. She got a great job. She got a vehicle. And she was just given notice the other day that she's got to be out by the 15th of March. This March.
So she's got a month, essentially, to find somewhere.
Basically a month. And that was just dropped on her because her roommate's getting married and the person who owns the house is not going to renew the lease. So she's got nowhere to go again. So she's actually looking for a room in a house. Preferably, she lives in New Almaden. If there's any listeners out there that have any properties in New Almaden, that would be really nice for her. But, of course, there's probably chances are small. But
you never know.
Or even a house. I'm going to be helping her with the rent. So the rent's not a huge thing. It's temporary until she gets on her feet, but I'm helping her while she's getting on her feet. So I'm supplementing some of that stuff, you know, rent and stuff like that to help her until she gets her raise. She's supposed to get a raise and stuff. What have you.
Larry's sister is a great gal. Please don't hold it against her that
because she's
related
to
you. Yeah.
Oh,
I don't want people to think like, you know, because she's related to you, there's another Larry.
Well,
she's a wonderful lady.
She is. Yeah.
And again, it's just something, not that we're pushing our agenda on anyone. I think the show has always been about helping others.
Exactly.
And this is no different.
Yeah.
I mean, we've many times, I think it's the first time it's ever applied to us in any way.
Yeah.
Either of us.
Well, no, not exactly. I mean, I've been affected, you know, I mean, where my daughters.
Oh, right, right. But
we're
going out for necessarily.
That's
help.
True. I think this is probably the first time.
But anybody who wants to, you know, maybe step in, has maybe knows someone, or maybe you yourself can help. I'm going to give you Larry's info. It's Larry@HeartsForAfricaRadio.com. Larry@HeartsForAfricaRadio.com.
You better spell it because you talk too fast.
Larry@HeartsForRadio.com.
Oh my God.
Yeah, now you screwed me up. HeartsForAfricaRadio.com. But let me give the number. It's easier. 805-570-6972. 805-570-6972. Maybe it's an excuse to talk to Larry on the phone.
And by the way, that's not where I live. That's just a mobile number, so that travels with me wherever I go.
Yeah, so get in touch if you know somebody who might be able to help. Whether it's in that area or whatever you might know, it doesn't hurt to...
Yeah, and this is crucial. I mean, it's time sensitive. I'm sure we'll find something, but I don't want her to have to move again.
And again, we're just looking to put the word out there and hope the community can kind of help where possible, I guess. And not everybody's able to do so, but...
And she's a wonder. She's 60 years old, so she's not going to be partying all the time.
Yeah, unlike Larry.
I love to party.
Low key. So this has been a very, just to really put it mildly, I guess, safely, it's been a tumultuous year so far because of the political and social, divide. We've discussed it on the show many times. We do not get into politics here. It's just not our platform, nor do we care to. Neither of us are driven by politics. I think we're affected by it.
We are. Everybody is.
And we have an opinion, but we're not here for that. And I think that's where a lot of journalism has gone wrong over the years, is that all of a sudden journalists feel they have to give their, as their duty as journalists is to give their opinion. Well, that's not true.
Yeah,
journalism,
like, they're qualified.
Isn't supposed to be positioned, right? It's supposed to just give us the facts.
Give the news as it really happens.
Right.
The real deal.
And then you bring in specialists to talk, and maybe they give an opinion. But that journalism is definitely not what it used to be in that regard.
True.
So we're not here to push our agenda. What we're here to do is really provide aid to the community and sort of give the community a platform to talk about issues and maybe ask for help from someone else within the community. That's the name of the show, People Helping People.
Mm-hmm.
We're the conduits to the community, from the listeners to whoever is out there to help.
Yeah.
And in some cases, and we've seen it happen even just recently when Jennifer of
Real Options,
who was here 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
who we've had in the studio a few times, just talking about one of the biggest topics. That's, if you go on social media, I'd say you'd be hard pressed to find, to go through a day without seeing somebody talking about, not the first, for example, the Muslim ban, right? Or the seven countries.
The immigration.
Or the issue of the abortion and Planned Parenthood and where they stand and the new regime, if you will.
Right.
Jennifer came in here and gave our listeners another outlet, another option for those who need advice and need help with this, specifically unplanned pregnancies for those who are young and might be in a position where they don't have support and might not be able to get through a pregnancy. So they really give a lot of help and work with these clients and these, especially the younger generations.
Can I interrupt you?
Yeah, please.
I think I told you this before, that my sister works there too. And I went there one day to take her out to lunch.
Okay.
And there was this young couple in there. The girl was 15 years old. And they were, considering abortion. So they went in, did an ultrasound and what have you. But they were really, really struggling, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sad to see, you know. I mean, you want to gather around them and support them when they're going through this, whatever they decide. And that's what they do.
Right.
Real Options. I'm sorry, go
no,
ahead.
No,
no,
it's fine.
Lose your train of thought.
Not
you
at all.
Do that.
No, I'm good.
Really?
I think that is good you pointed that out. Just because it's not always about people in a position that, like, right this second that might affect them now. In other words, someone who is already pregnant needs to go.
Yeah.
It's also educating people.
This is right.
And educating families on how to deal with their kids and how to maybe. It's a tough thing. And having her in here to go through the steps and sort of, remember she kind of gave us, put us in a role play situation.
I was daddy to baby Joey or little Joey. I believe was your name.
It's starting to sound creepy.
My son.
It's starting to sound really creepy. But no, and I did too. And I'm not a parent yet, but she put me in that position.
I can teach you.
I'm no thanks. The reality is that sometimes it's very difficult, especially this day and age, because kids are way further advanced than they were when we were kids, or when I was a kid.
Yeah, that's true.
There's way more out there for them and easier to access information. So they know more than we think they know a lot of cases, but you're also a little uncomfortable talking to your children about certain things, and they give you different tips on how to maybe educate them and show them that you're there with them and you're not going to punish them for making mistakes, but also if something comes up, you should know how to speak to your child and they should be comfortable going to you to tell you when they are in a situation like this. That's one of the areas where we've found since that show, I was blown away at how many people who maybe didn't call while we were on the air. We had a couple.
Yeah, because a lot of times they don't.
It's uncomfortable because, first of all, no one wants to be, outed, if you will,
sure,
on the air,
yep,
with their own issues. But after we get off the air, we'll get phone calls that say, like, look, that was really great. Who do we speak to? Who do we, you know, get in touch with so we could talk to them more about this?
Mm-hmm.
Because, as you know, the hardest thing as a parent is really that balance between being a friend and a parent. And I think that's what we're finding.
Very tough.
And in other cases, you want to discipline your children, but when is the right time to discipline? When is the right time to be affectionate?
Yeah.
And I think she was showing that a lot of times it's the process. It's when they do something very good and that you're proud that they shared something with you that might be a little uncomfortable for them, telling them, like, thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate you being forward with me because it'll help me help you, and mm-hmm, and maybe the kid feels more comfortable when,
right, they open up more
when it's a
they
bigger,
don't feel threatened,
right,
or as, not as much.
And that's simply true, that we're all sort of in the same boat as parents, or who, those who are parents, but even non-parents, it's important to learn this. And we've heard through Jennifer that several people have called,
mm-hmm,
Real Options to talk more about this.
And you know, with her, they always have.
Yes.
Had you noticed that?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Every time she's been in here, it's been great. They've called.
So those who didn't have the number, Jennifer at realoptions.com is the best way to get in touch with her. And if you want to send her an email, she'll definitely make the time to speak to you. She's unbelievable.
Very good at that.
She's very good at translating the message as well. She comes, mm-hmm, in, a lot of people who aren't in the industry, it's hard to go on the radio and really get everything you want to say out and also do it in a way that communicates and resonates with people. But Jennifer's very good at it.
Well, she goes around to high schools and she lectures in that, you know.
Yes.
And that's, so she's very involved in the secular community.
Yeah.
On that level.
But, you know, as you see more of these abortion issues or right to life advocates,
mm-hmm,
and you see, okay, it's always going to be a 50-50, right? You know, that's just the same way with your political affiliation. It's usually 50-50. So there's always going to be 50% of the population
on
or
this side,
give or take
50 on that side.
Yeah. And then there'll be about the 5% or so in the middle that are, you know, maybe 10% that's, or maybe, like I always say, I'm a little more liberal with my social beliefs than I am with
you.
My,
really are. I wanted to have a talk with you about that.
What?
After the show. You're very liberal.
It's sort of a different, I think it's two separate subjects.
What would you call me though?
Yeah, I think you're a conservative.
No,
no,
nuh-uh.
You're a middle ground. You say you're independent.
I'm more middle ground. I mean, because I've been on both sides for so many years.
Right.
So I'm not a liberal, not a conservative.
To me, it's topic to topic. So certain things,
yeah,
I find myself on one side.
I think so.
That's why I consider myself. That's why I want the party parties to go away. I think that's the only real way to fix this.
Well,
they both go away.
Yeah,
it's never going to happen, but that's what they need.
Yeah.
And I know that's what happened in the UK. An independent person won, and now that's affected them, of course, with Britain's exit from the Union.
Yep.
So true. I think, you know, this country is in a very strange transition right now, and I think a lot of people are not sure what it means, especially for a lot of our listeners, you know, and family members and, mm-hmm, people, and you know, who's belongs here, who doesn't belong here. We all belong here, you know. This is what this country was founded upon.
Yes.
I think it's just really now figuring out what we can do. You know, if you don't believe something is just, if you will, or if there's a way of going about it. I don't think the protests necessarily work, although I think they're healthy sometimes. I really do.
You know what? I do too, but I don't like the way some of them protest. I mean, for instance, when Martin Luther King was protesting, he did it the way we should do it.
Yeah.
Let's face it. He changed the world.
Absolutely.
And he didn't do it with violence or with stupid actions.
There's been very few since him as
I can't think of hardly any.
Right.
I can't even think of any. But that man, I mean, that's, if you want some kind of an example of how to do it and do it properly, that's the guy you look at. That and his movement.
Right.
It changed the world.
It starts, though, at a state level, right? Because
it's
who we put into office, mm-hmm, in our local government that is going to be able to help get our... I guess speak on behalf of the people of where we live, right? So if you live in California,
well,
it's important
you
put the right people in place.
Yeah.
So because they're the ones that are going to have an effect. And I think it starts with, if you really aren't happy with your situation and the way things are, then, it, you know, get involved locally.
Absolutely.
That's where this radio station and this show specifically, that's our stance.
That's exactly right.
We are very small, you and I.
Yeah, we are.
In the picture, big picture. But if we can affect one person positively, and we've done that with homeless and
yes,
people who've been come across some hard times.
And the boy that was in the wheelchair.
Exactly. Getting the ramp made.
Yeah, absolutely.
It starts on a very small level. That isn't going to, in other words, if we get somebody who is homeless and out of work, right, and they are... they were formerly in a pretty good job, and now they're finding themselves out on the streets living in a van because they lost their job and they live in the most expensive territory in the country.
That's true.
We can't go out and fix the economy, right? We can't go out and make it so the Bay Area is a cheaper place to live. What we can do is we can help that guy, right? And we can maybe chip in and pitch in to help each other. But that's where it really starts, on the local side of things.
Definitely.
And that's where we call upon our listeners to get involved in this conversation. I remember Srini said, and this show isn't about preaching. I feel like we're preaching a little bit in a way today, in a small way. I remember Srini Sarapali said to us, several months ago, sometimes I think it's important you challenge the listeners to get involved, because sometimes you guys, meaning you and I, are too
we're
nice.
Kind of easy.
We're not here to call anybody out.
Right.
And I never will be. However, I really do urge you, even if it means making a phone call here, if there's something on your mind that we can do, that maybe somebody we can bring in here to educate us, or if somebody we can reach out to on behalf of the community to get you in, to get us involved, we will do that.
Absolutely.
That's what we're here for. So let me give you the number today, because I really want to open it up. And that's not to say it's always easy to talk on air, but if you do feel brave enough, or if there's something on your mind, then call us and jump on with us and let's discuss it.
You don't even have to give a name.
No, you can be anonymous.
Just your opinion, yeah,
right.
For sure.
408-912-5565. 408-912-5565. This is an open conversation today. So until we get off the air, anytime something pops up that you think might be something worth discussing or mentioning on any level, as long as it's clean, we really encourage the phone calls. And if you can't do it here, and sometimes that it's not so easy, then you can call us off air as well, or get in touch with us. To talk to us more about your issues and what we can do. In future shows, we'll be bringing, I know we have some really great guests on the way coming in, and we have plans to sort of highlight and focus on certain areas this year, more so than years past. Obviously, we won't be talking about the drought this year, most likely.
Yeah.
Maybe floods, but no drought.
Maybe, and hopefully not politics much longer.
Yeah, no, and that's the other thing. When does that start to go away? I feel so. Let's go back to the protesting a bit for a moment.
Yeah.
I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. What do you feel that the protesting that's going on right now to sort of combat our current president, and whether I agree or disagree is irrelevant, because this is an issue. Do you think there's a better way to go about challenging? And you know, I've read something yesterday. It's like, sign a petition to impeach the president. And I was like, you just can't impeach somebody just for not liking him, right?
That's just stupid.
What do we do locally, Larry? What can we? I know you've been doing Hearts for Africa forever. You've been around since the 20s, so you've been having effect socially for a long time. I'm just kidding. What can we do? What can we start on a local level to, if you do want to be heard?
Well, I just thought of something earlier, and I'm sure it's been said many times before, but I'd rather be a bridge than a wall. So I think with a lot of the anger and bitterness that's going on in this country and even around the world on all the different kinds of issues that we've got, and there are many, I don't think you're going to achieve what you really want to achieve if you act like a buffoon. I don't think that's the right way to go about it. I am all for protesting, just like you are, but I don't like the way some of it's done.
Me too.
I think that's just counterproductive. I mean, I was an activist. I was a liberal, I was a Democrat, but I never acted that way. And the people I hung with didn't either. But I think what you create when you do stuff like that is the people that you would have won over, you lost.
Right.
Because you're disrespectful, in some ways very arrogant, violent, foul-mouthed, and I don't go for any of those things. It just does not accomplish what you want to get accomplished. If you have to act like that, you're not respectful. And a lot of people that, like I say, you would have won over me. You lost me, because I'm not going to affiliate myself with that. I'm just as pro this or that as what a lot of other people are, to the left, to the right. but I don't act that way. And I don't think anybody should act that way. Yeah. I just don't. That's my opinion.
That's why I asked you this, because I feel like there's a lesson to be learned here. And I know a lot of people who are protesting. I know, for example, the Women's March that happened, right?
Yeah.
I see that was really, I don't see how one had anything to do with the other, really. I guess because of how President Trump has been known to treat women and some of the things he said.
Right. Yeah. Well,
to me,
the one,
maybe it has something to do. There's a correlation there,
I think so.
I just don't see how one had anything to do, because there was different, you know, there was the Women's March, but there were other people protesting other things.
Yeah,
there.
A lot of representations.
But it also got a little violent, which is, it's a peaceful protest. I mean. And you know why it got violent? Because some people treated it as a social event, as a parade. And the reason, again, I bring this up, and again, I am not even giving you any indication of my affiliation. I would have said, I don't care which side you're on, if you're acting like you say, a buffoon, then I don't support it.
Yeah.
And I, like, for example,
I don't support the action.
Right. Either do I. So I had friends, and friends who are, you know, go way back with me, who went to the Women's March, and they were showing pictures on their social media, and they were like pre-gaming before the Women's March, and they were drinking and they're toasting. And I'm like, this isn't about that.
Yeah,
this isn't like you're going to the, you know, the whatever festival parade and you're going to go have some drinks. And that's why it becomes violent, because you have people who are using it as an excuse, and then a few drinks, and then you get a few opposition members there, and then all of a sudden you're shouting and it gets ugly. And there was resistance. They were throwing things at the police officers and such. And a lot of those police officers might have been agreeing with them or on their side, but they're there to defend and they're there to protect.
Yeah.
So there's definitely there's a divide here that we're all seeing.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
Absolutely.
But that doesn't mean we can't handle this properly, right? Mm-hmm. And we can't handle this like adults and come and start figuring out on a local level what can be done. I think that's now becoming more of my position moving forward with this show, is instead of trying to look at the big picture, it's starting on a local level, which is what we've been doing. But if we want to make a difference on these social issues, we can do it. It's just going to start very, very small. And then we can start to figure out, chipping away at it, how we get to the resolve or the resolution. And that's sort of a microcosm of the whole country. Everybody on a local level should be thinking, what can we do to help our state? And what can we do locally to fix these problems? And it's going to happen by communication, not fighting.
Yeah.
Which is one thing that really, really irritates me, is that there's a great show on, great scene. I don't watch the show, but there's a show on TV called Black-ish, and it's a sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
And after the election, they were doing a piece on these four or five people at this office. I think they're an agency, a marketing agency. And there were all different people, you know, a couple of Caucasians, a couple of African-Americans, a couple of Middle Eastern, you know, a couple of Asian, South Asian. Mm-hmm. It was just sort of a representative, like, you know, a few people here and everybody's beliefs. And, you know, they were really upset over the Trump. In the episode, they were directly addressing it. And one of the guys in there didn't say anything through the whole debate and people complaining about it, right? And he went on to say, look, whether I agree with, you know, I would never have voted this guy into office, is what he said. I would never have done it, and I don't agree with it. Mm. However, 70 million people think otherwise that voted for him. So I know at least 50% of the people I'm friends with and are close to me might believe that he was the better president, right?
Yeah.
So there's a reason.
Yeah.
So I can't just write it off as every one of the people that voted for this guy is dumb and I don't like them, because there's clearly no way that every one of those people is somebody who you dislike and don't agree with every, you know. So we have to look at it as, this means we need to talk and we need to start thinking, and you don't get it done by shutting it off and putting up a wall in front of you, no pun intended. It doesn't work that way. It works by, let's start talking and figure out why we have this many differences and how can we bridge the gap first, and then we'll work towards combining forces, right?
Yeah.
And it was such a great scene, and it made such a great, valid point.
Yeah, it's got a lot of meaning.
Almost wish I could have shown it to everybody I knew, because I basically gave up social media about a month and a half ago
on Facebook. I'm not on Facebook, but I
used to look at it, and then I never
posted. Even do that hardly
now. I can't, because all I see is, you know, people arguing and trolling each other.
It's just true.
Outrageous.
It is outrageous.
So we're going to do that. We're going to start on the local level, and we're going to really push and I say challenge, you, our listeners and our community, to bring it to us. And if you can't do it on some sort of a town or city level, and there's nothing, you know, maybe that's where we can help, because yeah, we do have the affiliation of the station to say, we can get that guy here. We could talk to that guy.
Yes,
yeah, so immigration is a big part of it, right?
It is
now
a big part of it. So we're a good outlet for you to share your thoughts and opinions. What's our number again?
Our number is 408-912-5565. 408-912-5565. It's a simple thing to really wrap your head around.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the issues, but I mean, as far as what are the things that are affecting us directly right now? What are those issues that we can make a difference immediately? It's impossible to think big picture when it comes to these issues, because, for example, now the immigration, let's talk on that for a moment. We have several immigration attorneys on this radio station, on this very station, and right, I've listened to their shows many times, and I know a lot of, because of that, the challenges that a lot of the South Asian Indian community faces, a lot of their relatives are not here, mm-hmm, and, you know, going back and forth, in some cases, how people are getting their work visas,
right,
and they're here on work visas, mm-hmm, and in some cases there's temporarily a hold
on them,
yeah, and you know, relatives who have left the country, and now the judge stepped in and basically right, lifted that ban, but this is still something that's got to be worked out. If the president
it has to be worked out for sure. Yes, it does. I mean, it's a very layered thing, very
right,
complex,
but we can't do any fighting and complaining isn't going to do anything yet. But what we can do is start to think, okay, we have immigration attorneys on this radio station. So maybe next week I can call upon one or two of them to check in with us.
That's
to talk
idea
about how it's going to affect our listeners,
yeah,
affect our families, what we can do on a local level, and what it really means moving forward if this is the position. We're going to have a 90-day vetting process now. I think that's what they said. They're going to go through a more detailed background on everybody, and they're going to make sure that the people that are coming here, it sounds kind of crazy, right? Because this country was built on that.
Yeah.
But times have changed so much, and there are a lot of people here that think this is what's necessary, right? That's how he won this election, because there were a lot of people.
Yeah, that's one of the platforms.
Yeah. So whether I agree or not, doesn't matter. It's just what happened. Mm-hmm. And he's doing what he said he was going to do, whether I like it or not.
I have an issue with that, though.
Why?
It's how he's doing it.
Exactly.
It's not what he's doing so much as how he's doing it. I did not see any dialogue or any communication prior to this, what he did. It was just like a snap of the finger.
Boom, yeah. He talked about it on his campaign trail.
But I mean, kind of like graduate into it, you know, because this is it's affecting our whole nation, because we're made up of immigrants. I mean,
That's right.
So I don't disagree that we need some kind of immigration control based on ISIS in particular.
Yeah.
That is a main fear right there. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of legitimate fears for that. We know. So, but that's just one part of it. So that has nothing to do with a lot of the other ones. So I did not see anything addressing these concerns from the populace. And I think we were not represented that way.
Well,
I did not see it happen.
Somebody sent an email to me saying 10 or however many years ago, President Clinton got up and basically said the exact same thing and left
to
a standing ovation.
Whereas,
you know, President Trump does it and everybody's is outraged. Well, you said it. It's if you listen to both speeches, listen to both sides, mm-hmm, and listen to how President
Clinton did it,
he presented in a way that didn't feel like it was being forced. It didn't feel as if it felt right. It felt like what he, and again, I think he was a better communicator, and he was a happier, more pleasant
exactly
disposition.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's all about communication.
How he delivered that message was typical of him. That's what won him the election. So again, something resonated with the people of this country to get it, right?
So it's kind of like, it's not what you say, but how you say it.
It is. And that's true. That's true.
Yeah. I can slap you in the face with a smile and you'll be happy.
Right.
If I did it with a frown, you'd take it personal.
Or, I mean, that may be an extreme example.
Well, you know, I'm good at that.
Yeah, you are. But I mean, it's more or less, you know, it's saying to somebody, you know, you're wrong or you're right. But it's really how you deliver that message.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if somebody did something wrong, and you got
to... Like, there's a way to say it.
To put it to business sort of analogy, if you're a boss and you're talking to an employee who you need to punish for something they did wrong, and you're going to have a meeting with them, and you're going to come at them a bit, first thing you do is you say something positive. Listen, you've been doing a great job at X, Y, and Z, and we really appreciate you, but this is something that we're concerned about, and we want you to work on this, right?
Yeah.
It's how you position it. You can make that person feel like I'm here and I'm included, but I have to fix this, or you can go in and just start bashing them, and that's never going to get the same response. In most cases, doesn't get the same response, right?
Yeah,
it's really how we deliver the message. I agree. And then... Instead of saying, let's do this immediately, he should have said that, you know, over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to talk to these judges. I'm going to talk to these officials, and we're going to figure out how to implement this. So in the meantime, those of you who are traveling and those of you who are out of the country, you should know you have 15 days to get back.
That's
and
my point.
Figure this out.
Yeah.
That seemed crazy because, like, somebody said it. There was, you know, it's like somebody brought up a great story about one guy to relate it to all of us who was here, has been living here with a green card for 20 years, right? And has three kids, has a job here. His mother, he left the country to go be with his dying mother and has been gone for 2 weeks. When he got on the day that was announced that they put the 90-day ban, he was traveling back to the country. Now he's basically left in limbo. He's coming back to be with his kids, his family, and now he's not allowed back. So he's got to pay for his lodging in wherever the home country was, has to figure it out. And meanwhile, he's going to lose his job because now he's not going to work for three plus months. And he's got kids to support and a wife that doesn't work. And that was one situation. So that's, of course, you could say, well, that's one guy, but there's probably hundreds of thousands in the same position or in different scenarios.
Yeah. So I don't think, just like I said, you know, I don't think that people have, I think everybody wants some kind of immigration control.
Right.
Every country has it. It's just, you know, what you do about it and how you do it. And I just saw a lack of including the people of our country in on this, in press conferences and all this, what's going to be taking place in the near future.
Right.
This is what we need to do. This is why we need to do it. And did you see any of that? I didn't see any of that.
No, I didn't. And again, that's why I say, you know, it's whether I agree or disagree, there's a way of going about it. And that's why I think it starts with us. It starts with people like you and I.
We should have been voted in, I think. But
right,
we didn't run.
That's crazy.
Though. Well,
I don't know the first thing.
We could have run if you wanted to.
If you look at logical thinking, then I think street level, I'm fine. When it comes to a lot of these political issues, I just am not educated enough on it. And nor do I care to be, because I feel like sometimes you get so caught up in
these
things.
I would never want to be a politician.
I don't know anybody would. I mean, and listen, thank God for those people, because you know, you really have to have
a brain for that.
It's just so difficult for me to ever. It seems like so many times it's just uphill battles, complete uphill battles constantly. So anyway, I wanted to, and we usually do a lot of these sort of calendar events,
upcoming events,
nonprofit stuff, and what's happening in the community that we can possibly get involved. And give people information. So what I was going to do is I was going to just shoot over a couple that are tonight. There's a couple that are happening even tonight, for example.
Thanks for the notice.
Well, listen, sometimes people look to get involved, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we've had several people on this show who've done, you know, local events and such.
Oh, yeah.
And especially when it comes to fundraisers and such, it's hard to get the word out about these things. And you know, I know with Franco, a lot of times he would focus on a little bit of the meditation such and yoga and all
especially
of those things,
especially from Santa Cruz.
There's other things, you know, for example, how to work on with marijuana now being legalized locally, right? There's a lot of different groups that are getting together, and how we're going to manage this with the children now.
Smoking.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing that this next year, I think, is when it'll go into effect.
I think they're doing it now.
Do you really?
Well, yeah, I see. Yeah, my son saw a girl out there just sitting on the bench smoking a joint the other day.
How old?
Oh, I don't know. She was in her 20s probably.
Wow.
Just sitting there out in the open. I was with him, but I was driving, so I didn't notice, you know.
Well, let's just say that when it comes to how we educate our children. It really does start with the parents and then in the school, of course. But there are several people I know who are very concerned about how we're going to now tell our children, don't do drugs, but it's okay because it's legal now. So that's a topic that's, I think, is close to home for several people, for a lot of people.
Well, the argument they usually use is that it's not harmful to you. Drugs are. If you're going into the heavy stuff, that's always harmful. And weed, well, maybe not.
Well, yeah, I guess that's all relative, too, though, because some people believe it as a gateway, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I personally, I won't give you my opinion because I don't think it's worth my opinion right now. But I know parents have, they feel the way they feel.
Yeah,
and
true.
It's their kids that they're worried about, not so much themselves. I mean, listen, adults can choose, make their own decisions and such, but it's not always the way for kids. Kids don't necessarily know. They look to their parents. They look to their peers.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's something that's important to us. And again, I think I'm trying to pull up this this calendar here, but I lost my page.
I've noticed
my page. Yeah,
meddling with
so
that.
So give me a moment on that. But there were a couple specifically that we're going to talk about teaching our kids about the, you know, how to teach our kids about the safeties of drugs and how this is going to affect our children. And I think it's all community involvement. So I think that's where it starts, really.
Yeah.
But let's talk about this, too. You remember we did something a couple years ago where people were the junk removal? Remember that? Remember, like, maybe a year ago, we had somebody on who was talking about donating all your junk, like computers, old TVs and such, to get it out of your...
Oh, you mean the e-waste? Or
yeah, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something going on today. It's
okay.
Called Stars Hauling Junk. It's all day. It's till 7 p.m. tonight. And it's basically an opportunity for you to drop off all of your stuff.
Is it anything or just electrical, technical, computer
it's anything.
Type stuff?
It's anything of value, basically. So, in other words, like clothes or computers or TVs or anything that's taken up space in your...
Well, that's different than the last one.
A little different. That was more...
E-waste.
That was...
I think you call it e-waste.
But today's one of those days where you can jump in if you have things. I know that's kind of quick notice. But there are, I know there's a Second Harvest Food Bank is doing donations as well, where you could stop by and drop off food to them. I guess they have people on hand all day today. There's also a community service, happening there as well. So if you're familiar with the Second Harvest Food Bank and you want to get involved in that, you could drop off. But this junk haul, I'm trying to get the
you're finding
information
it.
As we go.
It.
Yeah, this is what's tough when you don't, when you do it mid show. It's because I don't want to scan this too much and then realize that I'm, yeah. So I'll hold off and then wait till you're talking and I'll find it.
Yeah, I give up if I were you.
Yeah. But the Second Harvest Food Bank, I could say straight up that you can go stop by. It's on Kirtner Ave in Willow Glen, if you're familiar with that. If you want to drop off food, they're doing a collection today for that. So for future reference, I wanted to talk about, I think in 2 weeks, we're going to have Jennifer back in for the next round.
Yeah.
For...
Real options.
And for those who are going to, I wanted to mention that because she's going to continue in the education process and will help parents to communicate with their children across the board. So we'll have her back in here for that in 2 weeks. I'm going to work on the immigration attorney for next week.
Okay.
And we have, Nate knows better than any, who Nate's behind the board today. Nate knows better than any. How many immigration attorneys do we have in the station?
Four.
See, four? He's got it on hand.
Wow.
So maybe we can have a chat with, even if each of them or a couple of them can stop.
Like a panel?
Do a call or even just a phone call, you know, get them all on the line.
Anything helps.
I know those guys will really be able to help, but it's going to require, you know, our listeners to get involved too and kind of bring up, here's some situational stuff to present to these attorneys and what we
well,
can
yeah,
do.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it's really important. This kind of thing affects everybody, really.
Exactly.
It really does. I mean, I have a lot of friends that are immigrants that are affected by this, a lot.
So what, anything, I know we're short on time, we have about 10 minutes left. Tell me, is there any other things you can think of right now that you wanted to share that we should be focusing on moving forward?
No, not really.
There's nothing specific that you feel at this point, bigger issues
because you kind of touched on them already.
Well, there's a million things, Larry, obviously.
But I can't, but you're asking me like the
broad topics, because I know you're a very opinionated person. So, you know, I know we have...
you know that is not true.
Well, you're opinionated.
Well, maybe I'm opinionated, but I don't share it.
Yeah.
Just look at it that
very
way.
Cool. All right, so we have... I'll ask the person on the line.
Okay.
Let them handle this question.
That's nice. That's good.
Hello, you're on People Helping People. What's your name?
Yes, right. I'm Perry, and you mentioned regarding what subjects you should discuss or focus on. I would say the disabled people who cannot work, they need shelter and hunger prevention for disabled. That is, I think, a major issue in Silicon Valley.
That's a great point. So, in other words, people who, because I've seen a lot of this, as you know, there's anywhere you live in the Bay Area, you'll see there are a lot of homeless people who are disabled, right? Yeah, and they just can't simply get a job. I'm sure you've seen that yourself.
Yes, right. So, Second Harvest Food Bank is also, we donate food to the Second Harvest Food Bank, but 90% of the food goes to the people who are able, who can work, while the leftover, the people who are disabled, they don't have any voice. The food should go first to the disabled people who cannot work, who have a hand or a disability or a leg disability or medical disability.
Mm-hmm.
Food must go to the disabled people first, and second is the person who have good hands and good work, good legs, they should try to work.
That's a very interesting point because, you know, there, I didn't realize that a lot of that food was going. So you're saying these are even people that are, that have maybe live in a home, or I guess we lost them. Yeah. So people who have, who are not necessarily out of work and on the street, he's saying a lot of that, the food is going to these people, not the people that are more,
more
desperate need.
More disadvantaged from the disadvantaged community.
Yeah. Well, we know that's been, that was one of the biggest topics when we first started the show, is we were getting people who were calling us, and that still stands for those listening. I know we had a couple guys who were listening to the show were basically like, look, I'm out of work because I got sick and I wasn't able to work, and now I'm homeless and sick, and they were looking for help. They were looking for us to kind of reach out, somebody who can give them a hand. It's happened several times.
It has, and that's really, that was what we built the show on initially, is, you know, people helping people were the ones that were really suffering calling in, or those of us who knew somebody was suffering calling in and saying, offering help.
And special needs as well. I mean, I guess that's sort of two in one in a way.
Yeah.
Because we are a society that is more or less been built for able-bodied people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, anyone who has to go through those hardships of being, you know, someone in their family or themselves being disabled, and then it's a whole change of life, you know?
True,
your world is thrown upside down, and you're left to sort of deal with your new reality, and it's not always easy to work. You know, you might not physically be capable of working, and maybe you get some sort of relief from the government, but it's never usually enough, especially if you're from here.
Yeah.
I remember that one guy who called us who was homeless, and he was so desperate. He was like, I'm literally living in the backseat of my car. Everything I own is in my car right now. And a week ago, I had a home. I don't know if you remember. And
I do.
And we talked about it on the air, and somebody did reach out to help him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember specifically what it was. And then there was another lady who had dogs who was looking. She was now homeless, and she lost her gig. And she had three dogs, and she was looking for somebody to actually foster the dogs until she was able to get back on her feet.
That was somebody that I brought in.
Yeah.
Because she was a friend of a friend of mine.
Right.
Kind of thing, yeah.
But somebody did come along
and help.
Somebody
did, yeah.
So if you can help in any way, again, this is sort of the premise of the show, so it's really nothing new, but I guess we don't really hammer this point home each week. If there's something you can do, let's just say you want to donate a wheelchair. You might have a wheelchair or crutches in your garage, or you know, maybe you have a lawnmower, or, you know, whatever. Something that might be able to help someone else in need specifically. You can get to us and then allow us to sort of put it out there to people who might be desperate for whatever that is.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know, again, we did that a couple of times with...
We did. We did that with... I knew somebody and I brought him in. We had them in the studio, and they if you had something like you're just talking about,
any like a wheelchair, say
anything, then you could rent it out or something like that, and it was very effective for college students and military personnel, and it's gone over really, really well. But
That's now cool. remember that we said, and this is something we have to follow up on, follow through, is that we were going to help or at least get involved locally with the Veterans Association, the disabled
yeah,
veterans.
Yeah, you still haven't done that.
Because you still, Larry. Such
no,
a,
I said we.
Oh, no. Yeah,
I take part
of
it.
You fail us, Greg. No, it's true. Because that's an area I think anyone who lives here or anywhere, really, that's one area where I have such a heavy heart for veterans, disabled veterans who come back from defending our country or whatever country, and they are incapable because they put the time in and now they can't get their basic needs met.
Yeah, you see it all the time.
Jobs, too.
Time.
Like, where do they get
anything,
placement?
Anything positive, they struggle.
Yeah.
And a lot of these programs that the government was supposed to help them with didn't. So there are a lot of them are left. A lot of our homeless people are veterans.
Yeah.
From Vietnam.
I know. Well, that's and look, a lot of the homeless. You
and
see.
even the current ones, the last ones, you know, that we fought in Iraq, that too.
Yeah. Well, obviously, there's the San Jose has a veteran center. We talked about a while back, which is the County of Santa Clara Veterans Services. They have an office, which and they also have a homeless veterans emergency housing, right in San Jose. So. Yeah. There are places you can reach out to, but maybe that's where we can go to those places and talk to them and see what can be done.
Yeah, we should, huh? We should probably sit down and make a physical list because you and I both, we always forget.
Yeah. Well, that's and thanks to our last caller who sort of brought that up about the helping the homeless and helping those who are in need.
Disabled homeless.
Getting food, right.
Yeah.
Just coming to us with those topics and issues that you think might need to be addressed and we can help out and we will. So that's it. That put that on the list. It's going to be the veterans, local veterans association, especially those of the disabled.
Yeah.
PTSD is a disability. It's not always physical and that's important
to
remember.
That's huge.
I watched a great documentary about these military people who actually came back from war, Afghanistan or whatever, and they were mentally disabled, not physically.
Yeah.
And because it's not physical, they don't get jobs. They don't get the same care because it's not seen as a disability because it's you know PTSD, which is can't unquantifiable.
And we both know that's huge. And anything to do with mental illness is huge.
So one guy said, he's like, I almost wish I came back with a physical disability and lost my legs because I feel like then people would see my disability as opposed to be like, this guy's fine, get over it. That's a huge issue, brain injuries and such. So there's so many different layers to the Veterans Association and how these people go about getting work.
And then you look at the women that have fought and served. You know, that there was a time when the women couldn't fight physically. You know, now they are.
Yeah.
So that's a small community in the military complex, whatever you want to call it, that are not getting addressed like they should. You know, they don't get the notice that they should.
Great thing they did at the Super Bowl. I don't know if you saw at the end of the game. They put on the they picked out a handful of officers. They showed the officers during the game. They gave Hyundai, I think, presented this. They had these huge rooms where they had big screens so the officers can watch the game.
Cool.
And what they did was they picked several people and then they brought them into a room, this huge room where they had these huge screens all around them to watch. And they thought they were going to be watching the game by themselves. And what they did was they put their families, their kids, and their wives in there basically via video so that they basically are sitting and watching the Super Bowl, watching the same thing with their wife and kids.
Right.
And just watching the reaction from some of these people, the military, and how just seeing their kids and being able to watch a whole game basically in the same room, even though they weren't in the same room.
Right.
It was a really nice thing. I thought that was a nice touch by Hyundai to do that. And it makes you remember they're there. They're still over there fighting for us.
That's
They're fighting for our freedom. And we lose track of it.
Awesome that they did that.
All right. So before we wrap up, I like your last thoughts. We have a little bit of time, more than I normally give you. So last thoughts before we get out of here.
The one about my sister. I want to share that again. I'd rather do that rather than talk about me.
So one more time, recap that for those who had just tuned in.
Well, my sister is going to be without a place to live in about a month. She has to be out by March 15th. Tragic circumstances behind the whole thing, but I can't go into that. But anyway, she's looking for a room in a house with a good family or other people that are responsible, or even a house. And I'm going to be helping her with the rent. Hopefully she would like to find a place in Almaden or New Almaden, San Jose. Doesn't have to be, But she's only got a little more than 30 days. She's out.
Okay.
We need help.
So contact Larry, larry@heartsforafricaradio.com, or his phone number is 805-570-6972, 805-570-6972. Those words you always say every week, I would hate to leave without you saying them.
You mean about going out and helping somebody?
Yes.
Go out and change somebody's life. Who knows? It may be your own.
Thank you. Yeah. So next week, we'll be back at it again. Again, anyone who wants to call us and contact us, please do. And we peoplehelpingpeopleradio@gmail.com will be our email address. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back next Tuesday at noon with another edition of People Helping People on Desi 1170 AM radio that listens to you.